I'm reading a passage from 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 through 15. The point is this: the one who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and the one who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each of you must give as you are made, as you have made up your mind, not reluctantly, not under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to provide for you with every blessing in abundance, so that by always having enough of everything, you may share abundantly in every good work. For it is written, "He scatters abroad, he gives to the poor, his righteousness endures forever." God, who supplies the need to the sower and the bread for food, will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way for your great generosity, which will produce thanksgiving to God through us. For the rendering of this ministry not only supplies the needs of the saints, but also overflows in thanksgiving to God. Through the testing of this ministry, you glorify God by your obedience to the confession of the gospel of Christ, and by the generosity of your sharing with them and with all others. While they long for you and pray for you because of the surpassing grace of God that he has given you. Thanks be to God for this indescribable gift. For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God among us, for the word of God within us. I will confess that making or doing a stewardship sermon makes a pastor a little anxious. It makes this pastor a little anxious, for we are folks that don't like to talk about money very much. It's a source of tension. When they've done studies on relationships, the main reason for tension in marriages and other relationships is money. Now, I know this is true in my own family. In my aunt's family, you just didn't talk about money, or at least Aunt Dorothy didn't. That means Uncle Bill took care of all the bills. He knew where their money was. He organized. And that was a very good program until Aunt Dorothy's husband, Bill, died, and she didn't know what to do. And she grew so anxious, and it was very confusing for everyone. See, we kind of think if we just don't talk about it, it's not an issue. But you know how that is. It seeps up and causes problems. So then you take anxiousness about money and you add God and church to it, and everyone starts getting anxious. But I've never found that not talking about money makes it any easier. What it really does is it kind of causes damages in ways that we never thought about when we try to ignore it. Now, the amazing thing is the Bible never hesitates talking about money. It just never does. And God, I will tell you that God talks about you need to give it and why you need to give it and how, and talks a lot about what problems it causes for us. Jesus was surely more than willing to talk about it, but the church, we get a little crazy. Martin Luther, who was the founder of the Reformed faith, said this thing. We're talking 500 years ago. That there is the conversion of the mind, the heart, and the purse. And he said the hardest conversion is the purse. Sturgeon, a theologian, he said it, a great preacher said it another way. He said, there are people, Christians, and the hardest part of their lives to sanctify, to change, is their pocketbook. And I think that's true. But then, as I said, the Bible isn't scared about talking about it. when the scripture talks about it, it isn't done with guilt and it isn't done with emotions as much as it talks about how we give reflects our development as our life as a Christian person. It's about our interaction and our influence that God has on our lives. It's about thanksgiving and trust. It's a different way to look at money. And when it talks about how we handle money, it talks about the word stewardship. Stewardship season, we're doing it right now. But it's a wonderful word. It's from this Old Testament idea of being a steward. It's like you're the property manager. You have been entrusted to care for a property like it's your own, and you do your best job with it. In the image for us, God has entrusted us with this world, and we are to manage it well so it looks like the one whose property it is, that it looks like the God who gave us these gifts. So we use all that we have in ways that reflect the love and the care and the concern of our God. And it talks about stewardship, just not about financial, but about stewardship of our personal lives, of our church community life together, and our public lives, as well as our finances. So I decided that I would do something amazing. I would actually listen to my own sermon and not get nervous about preaching about money. And think about it, it's not something to be trudged through, to just be gotten through, but maybe a sermon on stewardship can be a development of my own faith life. So I decided to practice what I preached for a change. What a concept. And so I decided I would call up my friend Agnes, and I said, Agnes, what scripture should I use on Stewardship Sunday? I actually thought about this weeks ago. It wasn't just Monday. And she said, oh, Maggie, just use that Corinthians passage. See, Agnes thought I knew which one she meant. I said, oh, yeah, that's the one in, and she said, oh, 2 Corinthians. And I thought, okay, I'll just push her. I said, and what chapter was that? And she says, oh, chapter 9. Well, I didn't ask her what verse because I think she'd really know then that I had no idea. So I said, oh, chapter 9, great. So I read this chapter, and I loved it. I know I've read it before, but I didn't know I'd read it before. It was amazing. I read more, and I read it again, and the depth got into me, and I loved the words, and it just captured my attention. But I want to say good news. I'm only going to preach one sermon on this, not three. You know how us pastors get when we get excited. I've tried really hard, just one sermon today. But it is an amazing passage. Now, you remember about the Corinthians. This was the first century church. It was after Christ's death and resurrection, maybe 50 to 75 years, somewhere in there. And the Christian church has grown out from Israel and from Jerusalem, and it's up in Corinth, which is kind of around where Greece is. Corinth was this port town, very cosmopolitan, and Paul started a church there. He also started one in Macedonia, and the church there was not made up of grown-up Jewish people mostly. It was adults who had converted to the faith, Gentiles who had taken the faith. It was bigger than that Jerusalem church had ever imagined, and the churches are doing well. And Paul comes to tell them about a situation in Jerusalem. The Christians there are having a terrible time. They have fallen on very hard times. They are very, very needy. And Paul asks these churches outside to help them. He takes up an offering. He asks them to help those ones who started the faith, who had actually seen and known Jesus because they were in need. And these two start-up churches were amazing in their response. Paul says they were bountiful in their responses, just amazing offerings. He's already collected the monies from the Macedonians, and now he's come to collect the money from the Corinthians. And before we get the verse before we entered the text today, it tells us that Paul is sending some brothers to the Corinthians to arrange for this offering, to get it, for this bountiful offering, so that they may be ready when he asks. So it's a voluntary gift and not extortion. He says that. He said, I know it's going to be hard. That's why I'm sending someone to remind you what you had said you would give. So it's not an extortion. So he says, I want you to get ready for this because you pledge bountifully and now it's time to bring in the money. Now, it's an interesting piece because now we're bringing in money and he says in the next line, he says, each of you must make up your mind, not reluctantly, not under compulsion, but because God loves a cheerful giver. So when he's talking about money, he says, I want you to make up your own mind. Don't do it out of guilt. Don't do it out of resentfulness, but do it with a cheerful heart. I love that Paul is so straightforward here. He says, we have to decide, we have to contemplate what we are going to give. We do this with thought and prayer and a lot of consideration. That's why in this church you're going to get something in the mail to help you pray and think and be challenged. And then in a month we come to take up that bounty. Now what's interesting here is he said that it's supposed to be about deliberate consideration of the need and what you can give. Did you notice here that Paul never says, I want you to give a tithe, I want you to give 10%. He does not tell them the particulars. He doesn't set out a limit for them. Because I think he wants to give them, to have them give as much as they can, to give it out of a bounty rather than something that's prescribed. But he does give some hints about what one should share. When you go and you look in chapter 8 about what was happening with the Macedonians, he says that they gave within their means and beyond their means. Within their means. It means they gave proportionately. They gave as each individual could, and they gave a little bit more. He says it's not so much about the quantity that's collected that he talks about, but more of the proportion of what they could give. See, Paul praises that church not because of the amount they gave, but because of the generosity that went in that amount. It's an interesting switch, isn't it? Wants them to give proportionally and knows it's going to be different for every church. He doesn't set a set amount for that. And he knows that when you give, there is this joy contained with it. It's like a story. Well, it's not actually, well, it's a story, but it's true, about a man named Paul Thomas that talks about when he was a young boy, he was at the house by himself, and someone rang the door, and it was a beggar, a person that was in need. And so in kind of his impulsive boyishness, he went up to his room, he took his bank, he emptied and gave the man everything he had. And he said he had never felt such sheer happiness before that day or since with that gift. It just did something to him. That's a little bit about what it talks about. God loves a cheerful giver. It's easy to say, oh, that doesn't mean anything. Like, cheerful means I give you a big check and I smile while it hurts me. That's not what it means. It's interesting. The Greek word for cheerful is from hilarious. It's that root. And people would say, well, if you looked at what your church gives, it is hilarious. It's not that either. Cheerful here really means that you give it not in a reluctant manner, that you don't give it out of guilt, that you don't give it because you are forced to. You give it freely with an open spirit. It's a different piece. And he says that pleases God, that kind of giving. And it's an interesting kind of giving. It's a giving that's based on grace. It's a giving that says, you have been given so much by God, and now you give as much back. It's called the economy of grace. And Paul reminds the Corinthians and reminds us that God has provided for everyone, every blessing in abundance. Abundance. Enough. Enough of everything. And it's not an abundance to hoard, it's abundance to share. See, here's the interesting thing in the economy of grace. When you have a lot, you give a lot. It's maybe like the image of a dam. You have a dam with a lot of water, an abundance down, an abundance of water. We know those images in California. And underneath there is a dry and a needy valley. If you focus just on your abundance and you don't share, the valley does not get watered. It's got to go out if you get a lot. It's an economy of grace. The economy of grace, in that economy, you don't hold on to what you have, because if you hold on, you receive little blessings in return. In God's economy of grace, we will have enough for ourselves and enough to share and enough to give. It's a whole different way of looking at it. Abundance means enough. It's not enough just to hoard. It's enough so that we can share. It's not about amassing our own possessions. It's about eliminating need. So what Paul is really saying is that when we give, there's a reward. Now, it's not the kind of reward that you may have heard in some churches, the prosperity gospel, that if you give 10%, God will give you this much back, a guarantee. Or that if you're really a good Christian, you'll drive a Mercedes. It's not, you know, your wealth equals your pleasure for God. That is not what Paul is saying here. He is saying the rewards will be that your sharing of gifts will relieve and help others. It makes a difference in a world. It restores people's faith in human nature, in generosity, in caring. When we send off monies into places like Afghanistan and to feed hungry people in San Francisco, it gives them hope. We get to be generous. That's what I love about this food bank. The food pantry, we just give something away. I mean, we have enough. We have time, and we know we're going to get money when we ask for it for that bank, and we get to give away. There's a joy in that. The reward is also that it causes others to thank God. When we give, in this crazy world, they see something that they can thank God for. And I would say when we give generously, it reminds us that when we give, it changes us. We do it out of thanksgiving, and it reminds us that God wants just not our monies, but God wants us. That we are used in God's plan. It's a story of a Norwegian man who heard a speaker, and it was an amazing mission speaker. And when the plate came around, he took his wallet and he went like this and he put everything in. That was in the day when you didn't carry ATM cards, and there was money in there. And then he put a little note that said, "Use me too." Of the money and the person. I think that's the combination that God lives for. And my life too. So I invite you this stewardship season to really contemplate, to reflect, to pray on what it means to give out of abundance, out of thanksgiving for God. That you think about what it means to give proportionally, to give what you can, and then give a little bit more. That you give out of thanksgiving, that you give out of joy. Because when we give together, we can do ordinary things like pay for lights and run Sunday schools, and we can do extraordinary things like feed people and care when we do these things together. So let us give in abundance for God's blessings for us and to share God's abundance in the world. Thanks be to God. Amen.